Yeah, totally. I mean, the purposelessness. I mean, we have this tendency in our culture to, even if something has the potential to be purposeless or just kind of like blissful or its own thing, we have to kind of we tend to make it serve a function. And so like immediately kind of suck the like kind of ecstasy out of it or something. And then we like make it work.
Right.
Even like life purpose, you know, like people speak of that's like a thing. It's like, what's your life purpose?
You know what comes to mind to me, and I'm actually going to do an extra episode on this, is a lot of big YouTube content creators are quitting like en masse right now.
Really?
Yeah,
Why?
and they're citing like burnout, audience capture, all of the stuff, like, sort of dwindling algorithmic, like they relied so much on their success was so relied on the algorithm, but the algorithms change based on new data or trends that are fed it. So they're sort of, but they're also like audience. They say, I'm just sick of turning every one of my hobbies and optimizing it for money or for viewership. And they're like, I just want to go back to like, if I'm playing checkers, I don't want to think, oh, how can I convert this into content? And that seems to be like, I've been watching like a lot of these YouTuber why I quit videos from like, massive accounts. They make good money too. They're not Mr. Beast level or anything, but and it's just it's the same thing every time. And it's just everything he's been talking about,
That's fascinating. Yeah, I mean, of course, it's awful. How to, like, because I think, and that maybe is the difference between burnout and what he calls in this book ethereal tiredness. Well, you know, obviously, like the burnout thing would be the YouTubers, and obviously, that's like kind of the book he got famous on, right? The Burnout Society. Where we're just kind of optimizing ourselves to death and life is reduced to bare life and it's like just awful. And in here he talks about, he has this really interesting, I guess he's quoting Hondacki's essay on tiredness, where he uses the term ethereal tiredness. Yeah, that's the term. And he says it signifies spirit in the mode of contemplation. To the gaze of the tired person, the world is revealed in its state of reconciliation. All in one is the formula of reconciliation. So he kind of like equates it to something like a Cézanne painting where the landscape is shining or shimmering and things are blending together, like getting like kind of getting married to each other. I guess we could also think of it as like the moment of sunset when the sun is like merging with the horizon and our eyes are like adjusting, as opposed to like the perpetual daylight of I have to get this done and I have to show someone my efforts or whatever or my hobby and make it into a like side hustle or whatever, which then obviously takes the hobbiness out of the hobby. But there's something kind of like dreamy and surreal about the ethereal tiredness that I guess maybe like lets in something like inactivity and maybe we start to think more poetically. Like I think about how like the surrealists talked about twilight at like the kind of twilight mind as this like zone of new forms of connection and like creation. So I guess I mean I don't know, there seems to be something interesting going on here with ethereal tiredness. But yeah, it's totally different from burnout, which is what the YouTubers, I guess, are experiencing. And like all of us to some extent, I guess. But I have to be in it. I mean, I can't. Yeah, like I'm just finishing a book right now, like writing a book, right, I'm sort of finishing edits on it, and I have to almost be in, like, I guess a state of ethereal tiredness. I hadn't really thought of it like that, but there, if I'm kind of in the mode of trying to show, like trying to be visible or trying to, I don't know, like put myself out there on like various channels, I can't do it. Like I have to be kind of hidden and shrouded or something.
100%. Visibility is such a curse, because there is an exchange with perception and being perceived. And I really like what he says about how the deeper meaning of truth is the shared mood between things, and that truth and beauty converge in friendliness. In the landscape of inactivity, things are wedded to each other. The landscape shines. Spirit in the mode of inactivity is shining. And Cezanne, is a perfect example of this because his paintings, like I've always been a Cezanne fan, but I do love how everything just sort of blends together and it becomes this landscape of inactivity. Nothing delineates itself from any other thing. Nothing rests in itself or clings onto itself. So the odor of the pines, which is harsh in the sun, must marry the odor of the stones and of the marble from Saint Victoire in the distance. That is a direct quote from him. And he seemed to have this really figured out with his landscapes of inactivity.
Yeah, I love this idea of a landscape of inactivity. I have to look at like some more Cezannes now, actually.
This is another one that's my favorite. He says, "What destroys the continuity of being is human intention and judgment." And Cezanne wrote, "Why do we divide the world? Is it a reflection of our own egotism? We want everything to serve us."
And that's interesting. Wait, can you repeat the one about intention and judgment?
What destroys the continuity of being is human intention and judgment.
Yeah, I mean, I think about this a lot when I teach because I teach a lot online, and which has its own kind of weirdnesses, but there's like I try, like I really try to to kind of like create an environment where people can like be silent and like think and create connections, but the impulse I notice is to, in myself and others sometimes, and I it's like the goal, the like the thing I try to do is like create a way around this, but it's very hard. Is, like what are the takeaways, or like what are the main points that I'm supposed to kind of take with me and then like store in my brain, which like is one way of information accrual or whatever. But I think when we're like rushing to those intentions or judgments or packagings, there's like this thing that gets cut off, this like mechanism where we can actually like figure out what we think or feel or create a mood. Does that make sense?
No, that makes perfect sense. I try to think about that with words. Like, to me, the words are supposed to be like a context for escaping words. It's kind of like this, there's like this kind of new thing with the internet now. It's like people are trying to devise ways to go online so you could get off of line. And I think about like Lawrence from Felt when I interviewed him. One of the things that really stuck out to me was like, part of the reason he wanted to be famous from a young age was to have distance from the world. And now fame entails this like constant connection and having to interact. He's like, when I saw Mark Bolan of T-Rex in the 70s, like he was on stage. I was a little kid in the audience. Like we weren't interacting at a bar after. You know, and part of that distance creates that eros where I think you know, which is why rock stars were previously so like lusted after, you know, there was a sort of poetic distance, and social media really kind of destroys that for people, I believe.
Yeah, like the gods are no longer on Mount Olympus. They're just like down here. I mean, yeah, and Han actually talks about that. He says that the gods are inactive or something in this book, at some point. But that's really interesting, like the idea of wanting to be famous in order to have distance
I mean, in
from the
some
world.
ways, that's what Byung-Chul Han achieved, you know, for himself. He's
Yeah.
like one of the rare, you know, he's so famous, but he's so distant, you know, in terms of like he's the most private public intellectual because he's read, but he's not discussed in a discursive way. Like people aren't getting in Twitter flame wars over him. And I think that's just because he's right about everything, honestly. And he like, so there's not really much debate. It's like, if you don't get it and it's so easy to understand, then like, it's just not for you or something. You know, like that's kind of how I feel. He cuts things off because he's so able to concisely penetrate the truth to where we don't need, there are no polemics surrounding him. And some people say, well, that's what makes him boring. But I'm like, well, that's what makes him correct, you know?
Yeah, well, he says he's criticized, yeah, for like not, his books aren't like argumentative enough, or they're like sort of too straightforward or easy to understand or some bullshit like that. But he's like, that's
Arguing
what
is
I'm
for
trying to do.
losers.
Yeah,
It's for
I
fucking
don't know.
losers. Like, seriously, you want to argue? Go do, just like, come on, just shut the fuck up. Like, people need
He
to
does have
shut
like
up.
clear kind of take, like he does sort
Yeah,
of critique,
definitely.
but that's an interesting thing you said about how like people aren't kind of, I mean, I don't know, I've never seen, yeah, I've never seen like a kind of Twitter debate about him or whatever, but I'm, you know, I wonder if there's something about his writing or like how much control we have over that, like in our work, you know what I mean, like what then happens in the noise surrounding it or whatever.
I think there's control because when I
Really?
was, yeah, because when I would cover hot topics and
Oh,
things
right.
that were controversial, I was constantly getting shit. Some of it was correct. You know, I was wrong. I got some things wrong. And they were, you know, and it wasn't until I started doing things differently. And now I don't get it at all. I just get people just generally give me good praise. Like, I just get, you know, everyone just seems to like it all. And it's like, huh, that's really interesting. And it's all different kinds of people. It's not one ideological faction or another. It just seems to, I don't know, like the new episodes or direction, I think specifically in 2022, it took a turn, have just, I don't know, they've resonated on a broader level. 'Cause before it's like, I want the most extreme view from each side, like left or right or this or that, but that didn't, like, it didn't go anywhere. So I'm like a little bit, I don't want to say embarrassed, like I understand it was like,
So you kind of in like in the beginning courted a like a certain level of controversy, and that's what you got. And
yeah, did
like specific, like what specific topics were people pissed off about or
I
like riled up
mean
about?
I don't know, just, you know, random things. You know, it was like, I mean, you got in trouble for associating with me, which is like so weird because I've
I didn't
always,
get in trouble for
oh,
associating with
okay,
you.
never mind then.
I got in trouble for associating with other people that I think that you've had on here too, but no. Yeah, I mean, well, that's interesting, like, 'cause I think it's one thing to like, I think it's, how do you feel about getting in trouble for associations?
I think it's stupid. Like,
It's
I,
stupid too.
you know, it's, and it's honestly like a very, you know, it's a pretty reactionary, feudal, backwards worldview. Like, you know, if you think about it, even the stuff like, implied birthright guilt for like, because your ancestors had slaves or like your skin color. Like that is literally an aristocratic feudal idea that comes from a very patriarchal system that inculcates, you know, it's like the Indian caste system. It's just transposed to, you know, and this was kind of the overshooting of wokeness. And like I say, I'm not against some, I'm pro woke in some ways, actually. Like I'm not an anti woke person, but I definitely think it overshot, like it was pathetic. And it's similar to what Han says. He said the same thing about Me Too in that thing. He's like, I think it's good women are speaking out against abuse, but they destroyed Eros in the process and they took it too far. You know, like that's just kind of how I see it. It's like, you know, it's like Saint Just or something, like, but it's more metaphorical and less figurative with like guillotines and shit. It just, it was just taken too far. And Han is such a great like mediator between, okay, there's a little bit of truth in this, but you took it too far years ago. And like, I can't get behind this, you know, like kind of thing. And that's kind of how I feel. I'm like very careful, like who do I associate with? Is where before it was like, it's a free for all. We're going to all do like, like I can talk. I'm going to talk to whoever I want because they say you can't. There's a time and place for that. Now is not that time or place. You have to find, we need grounding. That's disjoining, you know?
Right. I like that kind of creating a space for it instead of just like frenetically going all out. But I understand what you're trying to do, and I was into it. But that's funny that you thought I got in trouble for associating with you.